don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, Doctor, Mr. MD,
Doctor,
now can you tell me?
Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you on Herb Talk Live. Thanks for joining us on American Voice Radio. Oh boy, we got a good show. We're going to be talking about, for the first part of the show, we're going to be talking about the infections that are coming. They're on the horizon. And well, they're infectious pathogens, so we're going to talk about that and how we can prepare, you know, protect ourselves. Also, we didn't cover throat cancer last time, so we're going to talk about that, plus some more bacterias and what we can do, and we'll see how much time we have left after that. We may get into some old folklore stuff. We'll see. And we have our quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform, lifting them up in prayer, lifting America up in prayer, praying for righteousness. You know, I've said this over and over. I pray for men of valor. Where are they? Righteous men of valor. You know what righteous men of valor are? They know the Lord. Yep. and they stand up for truth and justice. And we're supposed to pray for that. Isaiah 59 says that we're supposed to beseech the Lord for truth and justice. And, you know, hope is in God, and that's our anchor of our soul and keeps us both sure and steadfast. So, and you'll never waste 1 minute in prayer with him. It'll just make you better. So mind the time. Hit the knees. Seek the Lord's face. Mind the time. It grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thank you, Frank. Okay, in the quack report, what do you have? Ooh, 3D human hearts grown from nothing, apparently. Scientists, this is a report. It was in the Journal of Nature. Let's see, scientists have made tiny little human hearts that can actually beat from nothing. They're so small that it's hard to see them even with the naked eye. But these hearts have been grown using stem cells for the first time in a lab, according to a report from the New Scientist. Apparently, these hearts mimic the process of what happens when human hearts grow for the first time in the womb. So the new hearts are created using stem cells that were made by reversing human skin cells so that they were turned back into something like an embryo. And once that was done, the scientists encouraged those embryonic cells to grow into the right formation, changing their shape, and then eventually forming for the first time the cells that makes a heart beat. And then into those things that connect the heart up, you know, the ventricles and stuff like that. So this is a technology that could eventually, they say, be used to create full-size organs, hearts. They said the model is a first step towards building a heart that's relying on self-organization of cells. So, you know, long will go away is the heart donor, apparently. All right, so some techniques may also be used also to create other parts of the body, they think, down the road. May be difficult to encourage lab-created organs to grow into the right thing, though. It's still a work in progress. All right, what else is in the quack report? Some high-risk areas for Lyme disease, according to a new report. This was published in the CDC journal, The Emerging Infectious Diseases. The geographic areas for the Lyme disease is bigger than ever, dramatically grown, according to a governmental study that was published this week. Cases remain concentrated for Lyme's disease in the Northeast and upper Midwest. More areas, though, more regions are considered high risk now. So there are more than 260 counties where the risk of catching Lyme's disease is at least twice the national average, and it's up by 130 a decade earlier. So scientists really aren't sure why these high-risk areas are expanding. Likely they think it's because of developmental changes make the deers and mice and other rodents that carry these ticks move around. Okay. Overall, 17 states have high-risk. That's Connecticut. Almost all of Connecticut, basically, is high-risk. That's where actually the first illness of Lyme's disease was identified in 1975. Also, the high-risk zones that encompass nearly all of Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and half of Maine and Vermont. Some other states that had expansion for high-risk were Virginia, Pennsylvania, New York, along the eastern seaboard, and also Iowa, Michigan, Minnesota, and the Midwest. So symptoms would include, if you get Lyme's disease, fever, headache, fatigue. Sometimes you get a rash with a bullseye in it where the tick bite is. If you leave it untreated, it can cause arthritis and severe problems. So over 20,000 to 30,000 U.S. cases are reported of Lyme's disease each year. But researchers, experts say that the real numbers are probably 10 times that. People don't get reported, apparently. All right, last but not least in the quack report, Chinese scientists edit genes to produce artificial sperm. Scientists in mainland China have successfully mass-produced high-quality artificial sperm. The man-made sperm does not have little tails, so it can't swim, but it looks more like eggs than it does a natural sperm. But they say it can fertilize an egg and pass on genetic information to potential offspring. All this research is published in the Journal of Cell Stem Cell. Now, they said our man-made sperm, they've been using it to generate half-cloned mice. And the researchers say that what they did is they injected an artificial sperm into a natural egg, and the mouse was half-cloned with 50% of its genes coming from one of 1,000 other sperm cultures that were in a test dish. Anyway, they say the gene editing tool helps them to do this. It allows the researchers to add or disrupt or change a sequence of a genome specific to sperm, and scientists could now explore the function of many genes simultaneously with this new editing tool. So they say man-made sperm may have been produced by scientists in the past in labs, but the output was really bad. Less than, I think, 2% could fertilize eggs. But now, according to this study, that's not a problem. They can fertilize all day long. And so we'll see. Man-made sperm. What's next? Well, we're going to talk about that in the next segment. And that wraps the Quack Report. Thank you, Frank. I don't know. What's all with this artificial? Our whole world's just gone artificial mad. Nobody wants anything natural. What's wrong with natural sperm? Seriously. All right, we're going to talk about what's going on in the infectious disease world. That's what we're going to talk about. What do you say? Are the advancements in the sector of public health really for the protection and betterment of our health, or is it for the betterment of scientific healthcare's bottom line? Nearly 50 years ago, infections like HIV and AIDS, Ebola, Lyme's disease, the Nipah virus, SARS, and a number of zoonotic animal pathogens were unknown. So with each year, there seems to be some new discovery of a disease that can severely impact humanity. And besides the deadly pathogens, there are numerous ways to create a plethora of illnesses. So the corruption of the food, the water, and medicine have created this circle of slow death by non-communicable diseases like asthma, cardiovascular dysfunction, depression, autism, diabetes, arthritis, osteoporosis, digestive disease, immune system dysfunction, endocrine gland disease, liver and kidney disease, obesity, and cancer. Goodness. So we need to have an understanding about the varied disease threats to our health and the possible emergence of additional infections, these types of pathogens that are coming. We also need to have an understanding of how we can protect ourselves from current and emerging disease, okay? Well, first, let's look at some of the statistics. According to the WHO, the World Health Organization, the non-communicable diseases, some of which I just mentioned, are what they call slow death illness that are leading the world by 63%. We have more than 36 million worldwide dying a slow death right now. So out of the 36 million, 80% are low- and middle-income societies. Let me read you this quote by Virginia Lab, president of the executive director of the American Autoimmune-Related Disease Association, who says, "With the rapid increase in autoimmune diseases, it clearly suggests that environmental factors are at play due to the significant increase of these diseases. Genes do not change in such a short period of time." End of quote. Yeah, so what she's alluding to is some sort of genetic manipulation. Let's look at some of that then. The zoo pool. Let's just go to the animal kingdom, because scientists know that the diseases in the animal kingdom are vast and can present opportunities for the increased spreading of infection causing upheaval. For instance, science has used the rotavirus, or the bird influenza H1, and it's documented that very few animal pathogens are able to gain access to humans because they don't adapt or transmit the pathogen in order for it to multiply and spread. So why are so many animal pathogens jumping over to humans if they don't normally do that? Well, there's this old saying in the pharmaceutical industry, and I think our engineer has a clip to play. I want you to hear this, so if you can, Frank, play the clip.
Great news! A raccoon virus just crossed the species barrier and now can infect humans.
Why is that great news?
In the pharmaceutical business, we have a saying, mo infection, mo money.
Yeah, there's your answer right there. Now, that was a clip from The Big Bang Theory. Why they're working that into a comic show, it's not funny. It really isn't. Let me read you this quote by Stephen Morris. He's a PhD at Columbia University. He does a lot of research. He says, "We know what is responsible for emerging infections, and we should be able to prevent them." He concludes, "Through global surveillance and diagnostics and research, and above all, the political will to make that happen." Well, yeah, a lot of things in the mix there, Stephen. Now, Mark Wohlhouse and Eleanor Gaunt of the University of Ellenborough have produced a catalog of 1,400 human pathogen species. Now, of them, 87 species have been recorded since 1980. Now, these seem to be novel pathogens. Okay, they have noted the emergence of a broad host range, making the potential for human transmission viable. Okay, so these are all diseases that have the potential to infect us. So these researchers expect out of the 1,400 pathogens that 500 of these will jump the animal-to-human gap and make human-to-human transmission possible. And of these 500, they predict 150 pathogens will have the potential to create epidemic-level disease. And what's worse is these pathogens will mutate to create new infectious diseases at a rate of 3 per year. So scientists have been working to overcome the challenges of new pathogens to become established in a new host and achieve efficient transmission. That's just insane, you know? Well, let's look at the gene pool, because we just heard about the new artificial sperm and the genes being manipulated and this and that. Let's just look at the gene pool. Because another approach medicine is working on is to focus on the 3 W's, the what, why, and where infectious disease emerge, and capitalize on that. Mind you, science promotes this research as a way to prevent disease from happening, and at the University of California, Davis, they are experimenting with a process that generates new pathogens. So now, why would you want to add to the risk of infectious disease, right? Well, I think they like to create disease so they can sell their version of preventing disease, a drug, you know, more infection, more money. So the 3 W's they are trying to answer is through the field of polygeometrics. And this is a way to generate new pathogens through genome sequences. So researchers are experimenting with complex genes of 3 species. So the process kind of ties down the genome, and they try to get the code of the genome, which up till now has kind of been limited, but they're getting better at it. So the scientists call this research, are you ready? This research on genomes, they call the tree of life, right? Now, the genomes they have chosen are all bacterial, and they want to publish what is called a field guide to microbes. So they claim that when they create a new pathogen in this way, that they can predict its function and when it is likely to occur. So through the Consortium for Conservative Medicine, Wildlife Trust, they have prepared models to predict risk, pathogen source, and geographic locations of outbreaks. So these computer models will allow them to locate hotspots of disease and then watch it progress. All right, now, I want you to be really aware of the words they use, these researchers, okay? Because I find it interesting the words that the scientists use when announcing their research, their findings, and how this will all benefit mankind. For instance, Stephen Morris, PhD at Columbia University, he says he feels that pathogen research informs us about the, quote, importance of infectious diseases. So in what instance does he mean disease is important? Hopefully, you know, to help eradicate disease and save lives. However, I do question their intentions because research labs still store the smallpox disease. It was a disease that man supposedly intentionally defeated. So why keep it around and run the risk of another outbreak? Well, it's because to them, disease is power. It's a weapon. And for some industries, it can be a moneymaker. Wow. Well, let's talk about the plagues. It's very important to realize that we ourselves are kind of limited in protecting ourselves from individuals who would exploit infectious pathogens. You know, God knows what they're creating, right? And really, God has given us some clues. And if we pay attention, we can protect ourselves without vaccines and without the drugs. So if you look in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 59 and 60, God gives us a hint. He said that he told his people, he states that his people are fearful of the plagues of Egypt, and he warned them to be obedient because disobedience would expose them not only to the familiar plagues of Egypt, but also of every sickness and every plague not written in the book, and it would destroy them. So God knew where science was going with disease research. So we're instructed to be obedient, and in Psalms 91, we're given this special prayer of protection from pestilence. So God says 10,000 may die right at your right side, but it will not touch you. The disease won't touch you. So when God says herbs are meat and here for the service of man, what do you suppose that means? Well, it means God has given us natural, powerful medicine. So the use of antibiotics and vaccines is damaging to his creation and has really left several generations with weak, malfunctioning immune systems. And a majority of people will have little to no defense against the plagues, which are not written in the book. Okay? So if you want to learn about God's promise about how powerful his herbs are, Genesis chapter 1, 29 and 30, verses 29 and 30, and Psalms 104, verse 14. Well, let's talk about immune system defense, because if you've taken antibiotics or over-the-counter products, pain relievers, or these lifelong medications for non-communicable diseases, well, then you have some work to do. We don't want God to count us as slackers or neglect our due diligence when it comes to our health. So now, more than ever, we have to make significant effort to secure organic food and water, clean water, on a daily basis. This empowers our body to be healthier. And we can also remove impurities and drug residues with God's herbs and cleanse the filtering organs. This, again, makes our body stronger to fight disease. So we can use herbs to boost our immune system, and we can improve our health with this nourishing and cleansing approach that our bodies will need, and it will assist our immunity. It will power up our immune system. So if you're interested in learning how to cleanse your system with herbs, then call the experts in immune boosting and organ cleansing. You would call Apothecary Herbs. They have a toll-free number. You can ask for a free product catalog. The number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. And 3663, if I get it out there, you know. Oh, international number is 704-885-0277. Of course, they do have a website, thepowerherbs.com. And that's where your healthcare options just became endless. Also, you might want to ask them about their pandemic kit. Really cool. And some other emergency kits they have there for use. So it's a natural way to power up your body, to secure your defenses, your God-given defenses, using God's medicine, which he says is powerful and he's approved of, you know. Yeah, I trust in the Lord. I hope you do too. So go to thepowerherbs.com, check it out. You can get there typing in Herb Talk Live. Also, if you're there, sign up for the free online newsletters. Well, you'll get really helpful information each and every week. We do have the American Survival newsletter that goes out on Tuesdays and the Health Quest newsletter that goes out on Friday. So sign up. That's free. Opt in, opt out, whatever you want to do. And you can share that information with your list, if you like, your family and friends. And it's empowering. That's what it is. It puts the power back in your hands. A lot of people just don't feel powerful anymore. But you are. You just didn't know it, you know? You just didn't have the tools and the information. But, you know, you're just amazing. The body is amazing. God designed a body to regenerate and heal. And we just sometimes have to help it along or get out of the way and let it do its thing without, you know, hindering it. So learn as much as you can there to protect yourselves, because the time is a-coming swiftly that you're going to need to know that knowledge, have those tools. And it's sort of like you don't learn to shoot the gun in the middle of the war. You learn to shoot it before the war, see? Okay, enough said. All right, we're going to talk about throat cancer before we have to take a commercial break in a minute here. A lot of people worry about cancer. And we've seen lately some celebrities that have had a throat cancer down through the years. And according to the National Cancer Institute, throat cancer is very difficult to treat, they say. Notice I didn't say cure because, you know, modern medicine really doesn't cure a thing. They do disease management. That's their specialty. So the National Cancer Institute reports that if the condition of throat cancer is caught early enough, there's a 90% cure rate, according to them. Well, I use that term cure loosely because the disease is most likely in remission when you go with allopathic treatments for cancer, especially if the patient makes no lifestyle changes at all. So people with who get a diagnosis of throat cancer really have a lot of physical real estate at risk. The cancer cells usually start behind the nose, and they're flat and thin cells that kind of look like fish scales. The cancer then spreads to affect the voice box, the thyroid, and the neck, the nose, and the esophagus. Now, this disease usually affects adults over the age of 50 and is 10 times more likely to affect men than women. So white men, Caucasian men, have a 50% higher risk of throat cancer than other races of human beings. So throat cancer may not be as prevalent as other cancers, about 1,300 cases a year, 4,000 deaths with this type of disease. So what can we do about it? Well, we're going to find out. All right. First, let's talk about some of the symptoms. You may have throat cancer if you have the following symptoms: coughing, ear pain, persistent sore throat more than 6 weeks, pain or difficulty swallowing, voice change, you know, hoarseness for more than 6 weeks, weight loss, or a lump or painless sore that won't heal inside your mouth, throat or neck. You may have a lump that feels like it's in your throat. In addition to these symptoms, you may have difficulty breathing and experience bleeding in the throat. Some other signs can be neck pain, bleeding from the mouth, persistent sinus congestion, bad breath, sore tongue, white, red, or dark patches inside the mouth, numbness of the mouth, a lump on the lip, mouth, or gum area, enlarged neck glands, slurred speech. So cancer is affecting the tongue at that point. Oh, I see by the clock we have to take a little commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about treatments, what your options are. We'll be right back.
Wash away my trouble, wash away my pain, with the rain and shine by love. Wash away my sorrow, wash away my shame, with the rain and shine by love. Yeah, yeah.
pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com. We're in the middle of GM science and more money. Okay, we're talking about throat cancer, though. That's what we moved on to. Let's talk about the complicated risks that people that get throat cancer run into. Because the throat cancer can spread to the trachea, the bronchial, and the lung area. Some factors which can cause the development of throat cancer are exposure to asbestos, excessive alcoholism, Epstein-Barr virus, papillomaviruses, poor dental hygiene, tobacco use, especially smokeless tobacco and the use of cigars, and a diet that's lacking adequate vitamins from fruits and vegetables. Now, cigarette smokers have a 25-fold increased risk of cancer over the non-smokers. And other factors that can contribute are going to be low immune system function, exposure to nickel refining, textile fibers, woodworking, and gastroesophageal reflux disease. So what are the medical treatments? Well, modern medicine offers the chemotherapy, the radiation, the surgery, the drugs. And one drawback to the radiation therapy is that it can cause what is called a reduced blood supply to the jaw, called osteosclerosis. So if the disease spreads to the neck and lymph nodes, the remission rate drops 50%. So if surgery is recommended, most patients will suffer the loss of their larynx, which is their voice box, their lymph nodes in their neck area. Several cases also require the removal of the trachea, the jaw, the upper palate, and part of the face. So if this is the case, the patient is left with a permanent opening in the throat, a stoma, and all this is going to leave the patient with difficulty eating and swallowing, stiffness of the neck, lots of pain, respiratory problems, and, of course, speech problems. So the longevity and the quality of life for a patient like this has severely diminished. And if the cancer spreads to other parts of the body, which it most likely does if it's surgically removed, modern medicine writes the patient off as incurable. So the game plan then is it shifts from remission to pain relief until death. Okay? So that's what you're in for. That's the progression. So let's talk about the diet real quick, because research is suggesting that a diet high in processed meat, especially red meats, increases your risk of head and neck cancer. So the study also reported that the diet that has raw vegetables offered more protection against head and throat cancers. So natural vitamin E will help prevent the white patches that are the precursors for the cancer on the mucosal surfaces. And you're going to find natural vitamin E in cold-pressed vegetable oils, sprouted seeds like sunflower, nuts like almonds, your whole grains, Brussels sprouts, peaches, wheat germ, asparagus, green leafy vegetables, spirulina, and barley grass. Now, beta-carotene also was reported to help with the early stage cancer, so don't forget that. Let's talk about a cancer case. There have been some cases, though, of throat cancer that have been cured, really seriously cured. And there was a case of a 48-year-old male who had a large mass the size of a small grapefruit, about 4 inches in his throat. His doctors did a biopsy, which reported that he had malignant cancer. And the cancer involved his thyroid and his vocal cords. It kind of encompassed that. And he had extreme difficulty swallowing and breathing. His doctor said that the biopsy showed that the cancer was dissolving his thyroid gland along with his vocal cords and sides of his throat. So the patient didn't want to have surgery or any of the options his doctors gave him, even when his doctors told him he had a window of 6 weeks or less to seek treatment. But instead, he opted to do a combination of natural therapies. Now, this case comes from one of the patients natural doctors had at School of Natural Healing, so this is where this case has originated from. So what did they do? What did the guy decide he wanted to do? Well, he wanted to do a combination of therapies. So with a disease like cancer, you're going to want to do a combination of therapies. It unleashes more power at your disposal. So this means you want to do your organ cleansing, especially all the way to the blood. You want to do your juice therapy, your vegetarian diet, your internal and external, external poultices, castor oil packs. You want to eat raw garlic, like 4 to 6 cloves a day. Immune-boosting herbs include your cold sheet treatment exercise, positive thinking, massage therapy, reflexology, and learning a joke every day. Because when you have a sense of humor and you laugh, five areas of your brain light up, okay? And that helps and with the chemicals in the brain, the hormones, and everything. So, well, what happened to this guy? He did all this stuff, and within 2 weeks, the report was the cancerous mass shrunk by 50%. That was 2 inches, and the man could swallow and breathe more easily. So he kept doing his therapies, his natural therapy every day, and the mass kept shrinking, and by 6 months, he was completely free of this cancerous mass. His doctors reexamined him and pronounced him cancer-free. He was able to preserve and save his thyroid, his voice box, basically his life. So within a normal, healthy voice, he was able to give his testimony to the class over at the school. And one important thing to remember is that if you want to heal yourself with natural therapies, you have to get aggressive, be committed, not be afraid, okay? So if you want to be fearful, you want to be afraid of the medical establishment, what they're going to do to you, that's where you're supposed to be fearful, for sure. All right. So here are some things that you might want to consider when you're thinking about dealing with such cases as the cancer. There is this wonderful cancer poultice that you can mix up. If you want the recipe, this isn't something that the folks at Apothecary Herbs sell, but it is a recipe that they have and can send over to you. There's lots of things that are handouts that will empower you. So you can always ask the folks at Apothecary Herbs for that. And they'll email or snail mail it to you. And it's they have a list of cancer poultices for different conditions, breast cancer and so forth. So this is knowledge for you. And you can gather those ingredients and make your poultice and use it accordingly. Another thing that was discovered in 2012 that's been really helpful is that the Windsor School Medical School up in Quebec, Canada, the folks there, the medical staff there, they discovered dandelion root, helped people with cancer. It was leukemia patients that, you know, indicated that there's something in dandelion root because they drank tea, dandelion root tea, and their blood work improved. And so the researchers found out there's something in dandelion that makes all cancer cells, not just leukemia, but all cancer cells commit suicide. So don't neglect that, you know, God has left you defenseless here, because he hasn't. He's given you tools. He's given you strong medicine. Remember, herbs are meat, okay? Meat, strong, powerful. And that's what you want to learn to use. So the folks at Apothecary Herbs, they do have the dandelion root. And recent research has come to discover that when you combine the dandelion with the astragalus root, it works much faster, so you can expedite your process there. So give them a call if you want a catalog, if you want to ask about any of those items, the dandelion root, any of their products there, including their pandemic kit. Mm-hmm. The toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Thepowerherbs.com is the website. All right. We're going to talk about more bacteria, because we were talking about how they're kind of, you know, creating more infectious diseases, pathogens. They're just getting out of hand. So let's talk about how we can prepare for a lot of this bacteria. This bacteria not only is adapting naturally in nature, mutating, but then we've got the folks in the scientific research area just kind of helping animal pathogens along to infect us all. So we got to survive all this bacteria, the mutating kind, the zoonotic kind that is coming from animals. You know, bacteria can be lurking everywhere. Let's just put it that way. Pharmaceutical companies are really not developing new antibiotics to treat bacterial pathogens. Why are they stopped? Why are they stopped doing that? Because they it costs a lot of money to make them, and now they've turned their attention to viral drugs. So I don't know if that's going to be worse than the mutating drug-resistant bacterial drugs after they're done, but I expect it to be at least as worse. So why are antibiotics, though, limited? Well, when we use antibiotics to fight bacterial infections, we produce bacteria that adapts. And one reason the bacteria adapts is the antibiotics have isolated chemical components that the bacteria can adapt or mimic in order to evade the drug. Or the bacteria can make its own antidote to the antibiotic. So modern medicine says that these lurking, mutating bacteria can develop resistant microbes within a short time, like 3 months. So when you send a one-dimensional antibiotic to destroy a bacterial pathogen, it's kind of like trying to crack a code comprised of not just one or two digits. It's sort of like trying to, you know, crack a combination lock. So it's not really a problem for adapting bacteria. They can actually defeat the antibiotic when it's just one-dimensional. So what science is saying is that they need more complex antibacterial agents to fight off and defeat these pathogens, these bacterial pathogens. So what are our more complex options? Well, if antibiotics are so easy for bacteria to identify and code and evade and destroy, what could be used to stop bacterials that are invading? Well, logic would suggest we should use a more complex opponent, right, which is not so easily identified and defeated by the pathogen. Or do we have anything that fits this type of counter defense strategy? Well, yes, we do. It's called herbs. Okay, the pathogens are not resistant to the herbs that boost up your natural immune system. Okay, so bacterial fighting herbs have very complex properties, and they're not so easily identified by the pathogen to make its own antidote. So herbs contain very complex bacterial fighting compounds, which, you know, go way beyond the antibiotics. So we're going to take a look at a few of them right now, okay? One of them is garlic. Garlic is our ancient ancestors used it to fight infections for thousands of years. While the elite had expensive doctors with fancy tools and off-the-wall treatments, the poor used garlic. So it's considered a poor man's antibiotic, really. So the poor had sanitary and malnutrition problems working against them on top of the bacterial infections, but they often survived their illnesses with garlic. So garlic has a very broad spectrum of compounds, and it's used against viruses, bacteria, and parasites and fungus. So if you have to compare the defensive action of garlic to a drug, it would be similar or better than penicillin. So it's very effective against foodborne pathogens like staph, strep, salmonella, E. coli. So if you get food poisoning, there you go. And in my opinion, it isn't whether to use garlic or not, but whether to what form you might want to use it in. Do you want to use tablets, liquids? Do you want to eat it raw? Well, you want to keep in mind that pills and tablets take time for the body to digest. They have a short shelf life. Eating raw garlic is really good, has lots of live enzymes, but you have to eat quite a bit of it, like maybe 4 to 6 cloves, and that can nauseate some folks. Liquid concentrates are absorbed right away, and they offer an alternative to eating large doses of raw garlic. So garlic naturally thins the blood, so use caution if you're taking medicinal doses of anticoagulants, blood thinners. Now, the next one is onion. It's a cousin to the garlic. Onion is a wonderful has an antiseptic quality. It has antiseptic compounds to it. It provides the body with a lot of vitamin A and C, and it has also high amounts of potassium and magnesium. So these nutrients are going to be essential for the body to protect its cells and move fluids to cleanse away infection. And onion will help the body to remove a lot of mucus or phlegm along with bacterial and viral and fungal components. So it's really good for chest colds and stuff like that, head congestion. It reduces a lot of inflammation as well. And our ancient ancestors would use garlic and onion juice. They would apply them externally to the body to fend off bacterial infections during plagues. Put it on their skin, see. Oh, another herb I like to use is echinacea. Because it's packed with a lot of antibacterial fighting compounds as well. So your human immune system is able to use these compounds to magnify its strength and efficiency to eradicate the infection. So it really does power up your defenses. I prefer to use the root of the echinacea when it's harvested in the fall, because all the nutrition, all the power goes back to the root. And this is when a majority of the plant compounds are going to be at their height. So, I mean, you could use flower and leaves and stem, but it would have to be before the fall. I just like the root. It just seems to have more oomph to it. So fresh echinacea root will be your most powerful, but you can use a dried root, and it's still going to have some impressive punch to it. So what form is best? Well, some people like echinacea tea. They use echinacea pills and capsules, but I prefer the tincture. I always use the tincture because, again, the delivery system is immediate. The liquid's in the system right away. You can adjust the dose very easily, and you can adjust it for people under 100 pounds like children or even pets. So I like to layer or pair the echinacea with a garlic and some other powerful herbs, maybe astragalus root, part of arkoina bark, things like that, to help get over infections. Echinacea root has been laboratorily tested and known to be successfully used against tuberculosis, okay? Another herb is thyme, T-H-Y-M-E, and it really is great for bacterial fighting ability. It has some powerful oils that will also kill parasites. So during the Victorian age, thyme oil would be used as a disinfectant to clear away foul-smelling bacteria. And if using a thyme tincture, a dose to kill bacteria is going to be like a teaspoon size. So thyme really has been used a long time to fight against things like whooping cough bacteria, so it's excellent for that. Marshmallow root's nice to have in your arsenal as well. It has antibacterial properties. It's wonderful. It will help the other herbs work. Plus, it soothes irritated and inflamed tissue. So you can also use it topically to absorb into the skin and soothe irritants of the skin. So it's really nice for that. Ginseng is also on my list. I like to layer that in with all my bacterial fighting herbs because it has also the ability to help the body remove infectious disease faster. Okay, so it has this synergistic effect, and you should never overlook ginseng, but it will help the filtering organs get rid of the infection quick. All right, let's look at ginger root. Ginger roots were great. It does have bacterial fighting properties in it as well, but it is a carrier. So in other words, it has circulation properties of benefits to it. It helps all the benefits of your other herbs that you're using to fight infection to get to the smallest of the capillaries, and blood brings healing to all the body. So ginger root is really going to make it very difficult for bacterial pathogens to hide. Okay, so it has these accentuates, if you will. You can pair it with cayenne even, so it makes the circulation even more powerful when you add in cayenne to your ginger. I love that. Peppermint leaf is also on my list because peppermint is got some real serious bacterial pathogen fighting power. You know what they used it for in ancient times? Cholera. They used it against cholera. You'd have to use 2 full teaspoons of peppermint tincture if you were using it with some of your other herbs for disease, but it is powerful. Peppermint. It has an analgesic effect as well, so it's awesome. Have some of that. Keep that handy. All right, what about topical use? Well, according to Australia's Royal Brisbane and the Women's Hospital there, they discovered that if you rub bacterial disinfecting oils on your skin, it helps to kill and stop the spread of bacteria. So oils like tea tree and eucalyptus and lemongrass are all very good, and you can use that. They say it would help defend you against MRSA, staph, flesh-eating diseases, things like that, and also the cholera, okay, and other drug-resistant bacterial infections as well. So a lot of hospitals overseas will use these oils to disinfect rooms, hospital beds, equipment, and things like that. I wouldn't hesitate to use it as well when you got some serious plagues in the mix like Ebola, hemorrhagic fevers and whatever. Gentian root is also going to be excellent for hemorrhagic fevers. There's an alkaloid in gentian root that inhibits Ebola and any hemorrhagic fever, so don't forget that. All right, so we got lots of tools here, lots of information. You can actually block a lot of the mutation and transmission of these diseases. Your immune system can do that with the assistance of these powerful herbs that God says is meat. They're here for the service of man. Now you see why. He is the master chemist. He knows what's in those plants. He knows what your body needs. He knows what the immune system needs for support. He knows what the body needs to eradicate infectious pathogens, and he delivers that in really strong, powerful medicinal plants. So it's going to be real important for us to have healthy, strong immune systems out there. Not only, check the diet, watch the sugar, because one candy bar will lower your immune system operation ability by 50% for 8 hours, okay? Especially around the holidays, what is everybody eating? Well, they're eating, you know, cookies and cake and candy canes and hot chocolate and all these sugary things. And, you know, the sugar ride, it starts at Halloween, goes through Thanksgiving, and finishes at Valentine's Day. And doesn't it just strike you that that's the height of the cold and flu season right there? Everybody's immune system's turned off or lowered because of excessive sugar. So watch that, really watch that sugar. Now, you want to watch the excessive alcohol, too, because that blocks nutrition and also translates into sugar in the system, will lower immune system function. People that are typically, you know, heavy on the alcohol, the alcohol disrupts the efficiency of their immune system for at least 24 hours after they have too much to drink. So it's really a delayed thing. Chronic alcoholism, you know, higher risk of bacterial infections, pneumonia, tuberculosis. So be aware of that if you have anybody that's a drinker in your home. Now, basically, you have tools, you have information, and you can be more powerful. We do have the Power Herbs book. Let me give you an update on that. We do have the Power Herbs book up on the website, thepowerherbs.com. It is a 400-page book. It's an herb symptom reference guide. It tells you how to make your own tinctures. It tells you how to organ cleanse properly for safety and success. It's got a whole bunch of stuff in there. We have it in the PDF, as you know, and it's just $14.99. We have been integrating the new Kindle and iPad versions or EPUB versions. We're halfway there, folks. We appreciate your patience. But we ran into an issue with I don't know, I'm not real technical about computers and stuff, but some sort of variant problem. So they're working on that. So you'll see that up on the website. The drop-down does show the new versions or formats, but we wouldn't be able to send you the download just yet. So FYI, I'd hold off if you're thinking about getting it in the Kindle or the iPad form. Give us another, week to, you know, fix that problem. It's a bug. I don't know what it is. It's code. And it's a computer thing. I'm an herbalist. I know herbs. So I'm waiting for my IT, my developers to work that problem out. And if you've been, you know, waiting with bated breath, I apologize. I do. The Power Herbs book is just $14.99, and it will definitely empower you. Definitely. Well, I see by the clock I'm out of time again. But, you know, I'll be back next week with more enlightening information. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.